What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hello, here I am. Welcome to the podcast. It's Nikki Glaser. I am the host of the Nikki Glaser Podcast. I'm here. I'm in Los Angeles, California. If you listened to the show yesterday, this podcast is being recorded the same day. Two episodes in one, same day.
Unreal.
Many hours in between. Brian's here. Noah's here. What's up, guys?
What did you do with your hours?
Jesus Christ. What did you guys do with your hours? I mean, I guess we did the first one at 11 a.m. and now it's 5:30.
Yeah.
So a lot's happened.
Yep.
I'm transitioning. No, I could be at this point. I drove to Los Angeles from Temecula.
One of the best drives in America.
It was pretty sweet. I was in the back of an Escalade. I mean, it's nice. Like, the casino hooked it up, provided a free transport.
Pechanga,
really. I just kept saying Pechanga after punchlines last night. kind of like a Bazinga type thing.
Yeah.
That was fun. And then I did a Zoom call. Because this game show that I can't reveal why I'm excited about it. I did a Zoom call about how to play the game, and we talked about that and got, you know, learned the rules. And then this is how TV works, if you don't know, because I would not have known. Like, you get asked to do a show like 48 hours before it happens because someone more famous dropped out, and then you instantly you change everything in your schedule to accommodate it, because you being on TV is very important. So everything changes, and luckily you're at a point in your life where you have like a team of people who will cooperate with you and like schedule it for you. So shout out to my assistant, shout out to both of you who were able to change the podcast time to accommodate these. Just
I've been waiting for my shout out, and I really appreciate it. Thank you,
Brian Frangi in the house. Out, thank you guys for being so flexible.
TB12, you can thank TB12 for that.
Yeah, for the pliability, right?
Yeah.
And yes, and then you go like, okay, what am I gonna wear? And then you have to call stylists, and then you have to figure out who the hair and makeup people are gonna be, and then and you don't even think about like, well, do I even know how to play this game? And then eventually you get on a creative call, and then they tell you all about the show, and they say how it's gonna work, and they say they're so excited to have you, and they probably mean it sometimes. I think these people actually did. They're really sweet. I've worked on a lot of game shows, so there's a lot of overlap. So I've worked with a lot of these people, and they're so nice, and it sounds like it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And then I checked into, I'm staying in LA for like a month or more right now. So I checked into my like temporary apartment hotel situation.
It's a hotel, it's nice. Or an Airbnb?
It's a hotel. It's like a extended residency. So for like dads who have just freshly been kicked out of the house and are trying to still win back their wives and explain like, she means nothing to me, it was a mistake.
It's
nice. It's a nice place. It's a little bit, it's not a hotel where like there are people at the front desk, but it's not like hotel vibes of like, we're so happy you're here. It's like more like you are here. It's, you know, nice amenities though. It'll be good. But then I dropped my bags and then I had to run to that charity show. And I was running late. Don't you hate when you're running late to something and you're like telling the person like, I'm almost there. I'm so sorry. And I wasn't even running late. My set was at 3:35. I was going to be walking in at 3:34. And I go, I can go right up on stage. I don't need like to meditate in a room or something about my set. I'll walk right on the stage. I'm not getting any response except thumbs up. And then I get there. I'm like, oh, I'm ready. And they're like, oh, there's two people still in front of you. And they're both doing 20 minutes. I'm like, oh, so I'm 40 minutes early? And you guys know me. I don't like to be early for anything because I don't like stillness. I don't like hanging around backstage at the comedy show. But
this was the matinee performance.
Yeah, this was the 3:30
set. Was it outdoors?
No, it was at the Bourbon Room.
Oh, the Bourbon Room, yes.
Have you been there?
I've been there. Who are the other two comics?
Who are the other two comics? I didn't know, actually, the ones in front of me, but Tiffany Haddish was backstage, so I got to hang out with Tiffany.
That's cool.
For a little bit, and I'm always just like in passing with her, so it was nice to like hang out and talk to her, and
I saw Tiffany Haddish at a restaurant once.
Really?
Yeah, Edda, which is closed down now, which is surprising because it was a very popular hotspot amongst the influencers, but it closed nonetheless.
And you saw her there.
I saw her there. Isn't that great?
This is like the Eric Andre story you had.
I saw her, but I just saw her at a table eating dinner with somebody, and I said, isn't that Tiffany Haddish?
She's all over the place. She's so famous.
She's in everything. She's even in my restaurant.
She was talking about her DUI she got in November, because she said she's sober now, and I was like, since when? She's like, since November. I'm like, and you kind of, it's weird when you like are kind of friendly with people and you know that they went through something like that. You don't want to like pretend like you don't know, but you also don't want to bring it up. But like, I did know that she got a DUI because she like fell asleep at the wheel, which is just is the most hilarious way to get a DUI. And it's happened to her twice, I guess. It's so funny. Like,
not while driving. She was still?
No, she was parked.
Oh,
she like pulled over on the side of the road. Probably not great.
Wait, you could get a DUI for parking and falling asleep?
Yeah, if the car's
isn't
like
that
running,
like a responsible thing to do?
That's what I said. It sounded like you were responsible, and she's like, not if they want to make money. She was like, I didn't realize how famous I was until it was everywhere. It was everywhere.
Well, people want her to take her down.
Yeah, because she's been around too long, and she's too in.
She's
everything,
been the target of
the
controversy, so people are like clamoring to find more reasons to make a hit.
I love her.
Yeah.
Whenever I see her, she just seems to be treating everyone around her so equally, like doesn't think she's hot shit, even though she is and could act like that. I think she's so funny and she's so pretty. I was just like looking at her like, God, she's so, I was just, you know, sometimes when you're around famous people who have had that glow up. And she's pretty anyway, even before she was famous. But she's just like, their skin texture is different when they got that money, you know?
Yeah.
When you just like want to look at it, they're like radiant. I was very aware that I might have had bad breath. When you think you have bad breath, like, do you say something or do you just like try not to breathe heavy or do you like try to face it down?
Why not? Why don't you address it? Why don't you take a mint?
I didn't. One had one, and I didn't have one with me. Otherwise,
you always
gotta
have a Ricola. I'm always handing you Ricolas, not because I think you have bad breath, because I always have them.
Yeah, I love a mint or a Ricola. I'll always take a cough drop, but I didn't have anything and I just knew it probably wasn't good. And so I just like aimed it down, but she very well could be like, Nikki Glaser has stinky breath. And that would be like what she knows about me, because I don't think I'll ever get that close to her again. And even if I do, like when you're around someone who has really bad breath, like, and that's your like main interaction with them, like they just have bad breath the rest of your life. Like that's what you think.
Yeah, no, there's no going back, especially
because they had
the first
it once
impression.
In public at 3:35. Awful. Too late for morning breath. There's no excuse.
Yeah. Well, she's got a great name. You know how when some people become famous, you go like, who the fuck is that? When Tiffany Haddish really came on the scene, I just assumed she had been famous for a long time because of her name.
Yeah.
It just sounds like a famous person's name.
Haddish. It's like radish. Mm-hmm. It just sounds, I like the word garnish. That's like a cool, like any kind of ish. It's like,
blackish, whitish, mixed.
I remember
ish.
This
those
girl
Quinta
in our.
Who did those shows?
Oh, yeah, ish. That's totally it. Yeah. I don't know who did those shows. I forget his name. But I think he wears sweatpants a lot, that creator. Anyway,
you know how when you go to the bathroom and then you wash your hands and then you have to shake someone's hand and you go, my hands are wet. I didn't pee on them.
Yeah.
That's like what should you do the breath thing?
Yeah.
My breath stinks. I know.
Yes. I mean, and then if it doesn't, it's really awkward. Like, cause I think I told this on the podcast, but I was going to my stylist one time for a fitting, and I didn't realize that, like, I did not smell great down there. Like, it just had been like a, it was probably like, I've been having weird periods lately. Not that you asked, Brian, but like my periods will like seem to stop. Like, they used to be, they're always like 3 days long. My periods have been like my whole life. I've always been like really blessed with like a, maybe a half day of heavy flow. And I know that's like really rare and I'm lucky, but lately they've been stopping when they regularly stop and then they amp up again. Oh, so wow. It was like in that interim period where I'm like, I'm done with it. And then I think it started again. And like, I didn't have a cork up there. So things were just, it was just like not a good day down there.
Wild.
And I didn't know what was going on until I had traveled and I also had spray tan body odor, like just bad. And I remember thinking, oh my God, they totally smell it. So I said something, I'm sorry, like, if my pussy stinks. I think I said pussy stinks, which is like, I've known these girls for like almost 10 years now. So I can kind of talk that way, but it was a little bit on the edge of like, no. Because it was just so gross to say. It's just like, you can say your breath stinks and that's acceptable, but to ever admit that your pussy stinks, like, girls like can't admit it. That
I got
it
a
ever
rancid
does.
Gunch. Like it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It just sounds like once a rancid gunch, always a rancid gunch. Like it doesn't seem like something that can be temporary. And so if you admit you have it, it like almost is like you shouldn't do it. Even
by the way,
I
think I made up gunch. I've been saying it a lot.
It sounds good. That sounds it's someone's famous's last name.
James Gunch, the creator.
Eddie Gunch.
He's the guy who created Black-ish. Eddie Gunch. No, it's Kenya Barris. I looked it up.
Oh, yeah. Kenya Barris. There you go. Yeah. I think he wears sweatpants a lot. I think I was right about that. But anyway, so I said that, and I could tell that they were just like, we don't smell it, and now we know that you do, and this is just, no one needs any of this.
Did
so sometimes
that?
We call something
or
out.
You just feel it.
I could just feel that they were like, whoa, they were like blown away that I said it so brazenly.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, I don't think they had smelled anything. So it was, I could have just left it alone.
I could see that being pretty wild to hear.
Yeah.
Did you come in there hot too, stomping in there? My pussy
I'm
stinks.
Sure, I came in there.
I just imagine
hot.
You barging in like Kramer. I'm just like, my pussy stinks, all right?
No, it was after I bent down to take off some, like, you know, a dress that was really tight. So I bent down, so I got close to it, and I was like, oh boy. And I said it as I was like, guys, I think my pussy stinks right now, and I'm really sorry. And it's so embarrassing to even, like, as I'm saying it right now, my pussy has never stank, ever.
Mm-hmm.
It always smells good. Isn't that true, though, Noah, that you can say your breath stinks, but, like, admitting that your pussy has stunk even once kind of makes you feel like she probably always stinks?
It's pretty uncomfortable to admit.
Yeah.
to talk
Why
about.
Is that? Like, you can admit that, my armpits
my
smell.
My armpits My hair stinks.
You can fix
my hair,
that.
Yeah, it doesn't smell
fix
good right
hair.
Now. But like your
Once
pussy.
A stank gunch, always a stank gunch.
Yeah, like you are that. Yep. That's so strange. But I'm not that. My pussy does not stink regularly. I know for a fact. I don't know what I'd do if I had that problem. I would probably not leave the house because there are some people that just have, like the guy in The Holdovers, Paul Giamatti's character,
just had a
body odor from having some kind of condition.
I loved that film. I watched it on a plane, so it's not fair, but I really did love it.
I think that isn't fair. I watched it with my parents, which isn't fair, too.
Positive memories.
It just, whatever, whoever, you can totally, that's why comments are so scary on YouTube, because they are the people you're watching it with. Like, they, you know, like if you watch something with a group of people that don't like something, you probably will walk away from it not liking it as much as if you watched it with people who were like, I love this. Like, we are influenced.
Also, it says something about you, doesn't it? That you're watching this video and so are all these people who are commenting. So in that way, doesn't it make you like them? You have something in common with these people who have been served or have chosen to watch this video. You are
one. I do think about that sometimes where I was like, I think I would get, I really want to meet the other people who are watching this exact pornographic film I'm watching. That is who I would want to meet because I want to talk about, that's one thing I've talked about a little bit in my act and stuff about the stuff I'm drawn to in porn, but it's so specific, the things that I like, that I feel like I would have a really good time chatting with someone who's also getting off to the same exact thing.
Probably also Paul Giamatti.
I wouldn't be surprised. But I just think I would have a lot in common with someone who was into the same exact thing. But I wouldn't want our conversation to be sexual. It would be want to see what kind of thing we went through as kids that made us want this or like young adults.
And who knows?
Who really knows?
Yeah.
But I am getting into French porn because it makes me feel more classy.
Ooh,
French?
La la.
Yes, French. Because a French gangbang, they literally say ooh la la. I'm not even joking you. Watch a French porn and you will hear oh la la. And you will hear voila when they come. I'm not joking. God. They say voila.
That is crazy.
It's so, and they're like, hah, hah, hah. Like they do. And if they're, it's literal. It's legit French porn. But they do, they're like wearing striped shirts, smoking cigarettes.
It's every big stereotype. Bushes. Eating croissants.
Yeah. Doing things with baguettes. No, it's they really do say voila in French porn.
That's when hilarious.
They come. Isn't that so funny?
Because we don't say here it is in America when we come. That's not even a translation. That's just their culture is to go voila. Like a magician.
Voila just means lots of things. It just means it's like a thing to say when it's like here it is. Like we don't say here it is ever.
Why say anything? I think saying anything after you come is intrinsically funny. Think of something. What could you possibly say that's not funny after coming?
I mean, it's weird to say nothing, though.
You go,
how about just grunting?
Yeah, moaning. You just grunt, and then you go, oh, and then you...
Animal sounds.
Voila!
I think anything. You can't say anything.
It just
even like,
makes
I'm
me
done.
Feel...
Even maybe I'm coming.
Classy.
That's the only thing you could say that's not funny.
I came.
Came. I saw it. I conquered.
Voila. Like, just check it out. It really does happen in French porn. So I've been trying to watch that a little bit and to just like work on my French. And
yeah,
it makes me feel less disgusting because it feels like they're bringing in like class and art. It's like art.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's porn. It's French not good. Film. I think porn might be really bad for the world. Like really bad. I'm starting to think that.
Why is that? Because it devalues the human existence or desensitizes people to sexual encounters, limits their ability to connect with others?
Yeah. I mean, I was being a little bit, I guess, facetious when I said I think it's really bad because it's clearly really bad, but I think it's like way worse than anyone thinks because no one talks about watching porn. So like the only people really getting help for their porn addictions are people that are so far gone. Mm-hmm. In that world, but I think a lot of people struggle with it, even though I do love it and I watch a lot of it. And I also just don't think that anyone ever dreams of doing porn. And if you're a
woman. That's what I think about. Like I just thought about is like, what are the statistics of like how many former porn stars like, you know, commit suicide or are just like in a bad place?
Lots. And
why do porn at all? I mean, if the goal is to make money, then just start an OnlyFans. You don't have to fuck anybody and you'll make 10 times as much money.
No. OnlyFans, I saw a really important Reddit that I actually wanted to read on the podcast about a girl was like, I'm just ready to start an OnlyFans. I'm struggling too much. Like, I'm going to do it. And someone wrote like, here's why you shouldn't.
Okay.
You will 100%. They will find you. They will. What's it called when they steal your image and they take it and put it. Not yeah. The AI. Paywall. They'll do that.
Deep fake?
No, they'll just I forget there's a word for it when it's done online, but they'll take your paywalled content and they'll just put it out on Reddit or you know, it will end up on the free market of porn eventually. Most of the guys that you encounter that try to pay extra money where you make a lot of money is doing extra stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like personalized videos and stuff. Those guys will interact with you to plan the video. And then they will jerk off to the interaction and then they will never pay you cash for the most of the interactions that you are trying to figure out what video to make so I can make extra money. Those guys just get off on like telling you, like interacting with you in an email or messaging, and they never come through with the money to pay for the actual video that they were talking about. And they just jerk off to you talking to them about the video. And so that also happens. And also, can you imagine waking up in the morning and having to make some kind of fucking content where you stick your toe in your pussy or something? Like, I can't imagine. There's just mornings where I just can't even get it enough together to put on a shirt and talk about Taylor Swift on a podcast or what, you know, like I'm not, but to like act
I can't
horny,
even bring myself to make my Apple videos and.
Well, those stick. Take, that's almost like porn. That's a lot of enthusiasm. Voila. Yeah. That takes a lot out of you. You're doing a lot of research, but it's just, I don't think OnlyFans is what, and the market's oversaturated. So you won't make as much as you think you're going to. There was this whole list of a person that was like, please, honey, do not do this. It will come back to haunt you. But if it's just your feet, I could get into that. I think girls just don't put your face in the stuff if you could avoid it, if you wanted to start an OnlyFans. Or just do it, and if you don't care, then fucking just do it. I don't care either. More power to you. Okay, we're gonna do a break and we'll come back and do more show.
Ever tried to tackle a home improvement project without making 10 trips to Home Depot? What if I told you there's a way to earn cash back while you shop? Introducing Drop, the ultimate rewards app. With Drop, you can earn free gift cards by shopping in-store or online at Home Depot and tons of other stores. Download the Drop app today and use code DROP33 to get an instant $5 in points. That's Drop, your go-to for shopping rewards.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Paid by UpLevel Rewards. Paid participation required after portrayal.
Attention all listeners. Are you ready to earn $750? Well, get ready because I'm about to introduce you to GetMy750.com, the ultimate way to earn. Here's the scoop. Instead of just streaming shows or playing games on your phone for nothing, you have the chance to earn additional cash. That's right. From trying out new subscriptions to playing your favorite mobile games, you can get extra cash in your pocket. Simply sign up at GetMy750.com and follow the instructions to start earning immediately. So, what are you waiting for? Turn your favorite apps into real cash with GetMy750.com. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to earn rewards for things you're already doing on your phone. Check out GetMy750.com today. That's right. Get started right now at GetMy750.com. Just go to GetMy750.com. Or Google Get My 750 Cash. Follow the simple instructions and get your $750. That's GetMy750.com. GetMy750.com.
All right, we're back. What did you guys
like
do with
know,
your hours?
I mean, maybe this is too personal, but if there is any besties who have OnlyFans, I want to know what their experience is. Are they making money?
Well,
are they getting people paying bills?
I feel like OnlyFans is trying to trend away from like the pornography stuff because there's this jujitsu gal who's on there. Her name is Fiona Davis, and she like does jujitsu videos.
Yeah,
and
well, OnlyFans is doing comedy. They did the roast of Bert Kreischer, Trevor
and
Wallace,
Whitney Cummings.
Yeah,
and yeah, they do stand up shows and stuff.
But those
sound
like people are. That's not a successful venture. OnlyFans is real money is coming from porn.
Yeah,
and it always will. Well, maybe not. I guess they'll create the next blacklist or something, and everyone will start watching OnlyFans as a network.
Oh, Blacklist the show?
Yeah.
What is that show?
Just some random show I plucked at a
thin air.
Gotcha. Yeah. What's that show with Kevin Spacey on Netflix?
House of Cards.
Yes, I can't remember. I've been trying to remember.
I never watched that.
No.
And as soon as I was going to, he was like, you know, canceled.
Yeah, too
or whatever.
Late.
And then I was like, I guess I don't need to do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many shows that you just go, I should watch that. Sopranos is the one that I really should watch.
Oh, but that's a lot of commitment. That's like 9 seasons or something.
Yeah, I feel like I'll have to do it with someone who like wants to rewatch it someday or something. I don't think that's one I'm going to take on my own. And I will want to know when people are about to be offed because I don't really like.
You don't want
the
shock.
I don't want shock violence.
There's a character in Sopranos named Pussy.
Oh yeah, Big Pussy, right?
Yeah.
Did you watch Sopranos, Noah? You look like you did.
No, I did not.
You did not?
Mm. I also have this undertaking.
Hmm? Did you watch The Wire?
Yes. I love The Wire.
You loved it? Yeah.
And I watched Tremé.
And Tremé. I've never heard that listed among the best shows of all time. But was it really good?
Yes. It was the same creator as The Wire.
Oh. Okay.
Hmm.
Yeah,
you know what else I really loved from around that era was Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, that's the one that everyone says is amazing.
Yeah, I mean it has its ups and downs, but for definitely the first several seasons were the first 3 seasons of Battlestar Galactica are on par with the first 3 seasons of Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Yeah,
God, the pressure to keep that up. And then the fans get so disappointed in you.
The ending of Game of Thrones was so bad. Battlestar Galactica's ending was not bad. It was a little underwhelming, but it was better than Game of Thrones. So if you want to, there's no series that's more complete in my mind from start to finish than Breaking Bad. They had a plan. They executed the plan. They finished the character arc and it was over.
Okay.
Yeah.
I might see that too, but again, there's too much violence in that one, I think.
But it's funny. It's fun. They're having a good time.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know. That's one I got to watch with someone too. Okay. That's the one I really
that one you
see.
Can
and
get
then Better
on.
Call Saul. Like, can I watch Better Call Saul without so watching Breaking Bad?
You can, but you shouldn't.
You'll appreciate the characters more if you do watch Breaking Bad. But you'll appreciate them anyway because it's so well-written.
My life has in it right now because I didn't spend those however many 40 hours, 30, 60, 8 hours watching that series that everyone else did. Like, what did I do with that time?
You
learn
probably
the words to wet ass pussy or something. Like,
no, you probably were crushing your head because you had a migraine headache.
Oh, that was going on at that time in my life. Yeah. Don't get the IUD, girls. I was getting migraine headaches from it. And
damn, that was from the IUD?
Because I don't listen to my body, I had no idea those were connected, that they started like the day after I got the IUD.
Oh my
God. And
then
the day I got it taken out, they never came back and I never connected the two.
Oh my God.
Yeah. They were horrible. Like 2 years, I think.
Fuck. Wow.
And I don't even know why I got the IUD out. I just eventually was like, I don't think I need this. And boy, getting it put in and taken out, two most painful moments of my life. And then all the migraines in between, also the most, all of that was the most pain I've ever felt in my human existence, all connected to the IUD. And for what? Abortion would not have been as painful as all of that. It really wouldn't have. And I'm not being funny. It just wouldn't have been. I would have rather gotten pregnant and gotten an abortion. I know it wouldn't have been easy and it's maybe not right if you're a Christian or whatever, but that would not have been as painful as all the shit that I went through with that IUD. Those migraines that I like, man, just cry. Like, I understand why they're called like suicide headaches. If this kept going on,
there's big controversy right now actually about birth control and how like a lot of hormone doctors and women are speaking out against it, but then you hear the opposing side, which is mainly like from the pharmaceutical back doctors who are like, no, this is wrong. So there's like a huge fight going on right now on that.
I do like the idea of women having the ability to not to have kids and still get cummed in, you know, because
voila,
guys always convince you to fuck without a condom. And I know that women should be more responsible and tell them to wear condoms, but we aren't that strong because society hasn't made us that way when we're young.
As someone who has been cummed in and wanting to get pregnant and not gotten pregnant, I learned that it's much harder than we've been feared, that my mom scared me into and my doctor has scared me into. So I think it's like just being able to follow our hormonal pattern. If we were taught that better.
Oh, yeah. Talk to, like, listen to our bodies. None of us know when we're about to get our periods. I mean, it's an old joke, but like we all are like hysterically crying about, you know, dropping our cell phone or something innocuous and we wonder why it's happening and then we start bleeding, we go, oh, I'm on my period. Like, you never connect it because we're so disconnected from that because we're in denial of it. As soon as we get it, we have to be like secretive about getting tampons and do you have one and palming it to each other like we're dealing drugs. Like, it's everything about it so shameful. I don't care at all. I love buying tampons now and saying no bag for it and walking out of the store and like holding tampons. I think I've talked about this before, but at an airport one time I bought tampons and I was holding it like with my phone and filming people as I'm holding it out like with my phone and filming. It's in front of my phone camera. So you just see the C's part. People are so awkward that you're getting this thing. I love it. Like, oh, I'm sorry. My body's an inconvenience and makes you feel weird. Like, I didn't ask for this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to have to wear this shit.
That's the same way I feel when the Colts lose. I go, why am I punching this wall? I don't understand. And then I go, oh yeah, the Colts lost.
The Colts lose. If they would have taught you that as a young boy, that the Colts are going to lose.
Yeah.
Once every 28
once a month.
Days.
That would be a good season.
But yeah, that's okay. That's interesting. Yeah, birth control, I haven't. And you find out birth control like changes the way the things you're attracted to and changes your moods and changes. Like there are girls that are on birth control and they fall in love with a guy and then they go off it and they are like literally disgusted by his smell. Like yes. they want to vomit even thinking Damn. About the guy that they are they just moved in with and they can't, they don't know what's wrong with them. They're not attracted to them anymore. Not only are they not attracted, they're disgusted by them because their body chemistry was just different when they were on birth control. Mm. And birth control makes you have the chemicals of a woman who's pregnant. How are you supposed to attract the right a person that's supposed to get you pregnant eventually if you are constantly putting out vibes that you are pregnant? Like, I don't, it Wow. can't be good.
Do you know George Saunders, the short story writer?
Yeah.
So he wrote a book called December 11th or something Mm-hmm. like that. I forgot what it was called. But there's a short story in it where it's a science fiction futuristic short story where people are put into these pods for experimentation. They're injected with this this synthetic chemical that makes them fall in love with the person next to them, and they experience true love and the most fervent sexual desire and passion. And
is
then
this Lovers and Liars coming out April 11th? CW? Yeah, okay.
But they, but because, you know, love is, whether we like to admit it or not, it is a chemical reaction in our brains, and, you know, what causes that chemical reaction is just as important as the chemical reaction itself. So therefore, it's real or not, whatever. But in this world, they've invented a chemical, like just like taking an antidepressant or an injection, where it makes you feel, those chemicals are the most intense love you've ever felt. You feel in your brain, you really do believe you're in love with this person. And it lasts for like 6 hours and you're cuddling and it's just like you're in the arms of a long lost lover. And then slowly the pill wears off and then you're like, I'm repulsed by this person. And that has always stuck with me. I read that short story like 15 years ago and I still like Jaeger? Think about it.
Yeah, or like ecstasy.
It was, oh yeah, it was just Jaeger. They just did three Jaeger bombs. They're like, I think I love you.
I mean, that feeling, who hasn't gotten, who has had alcohol problems, not woken up next to something that they're like, yuck.
Yeah.
You know? But that stuck with you for some other reason?
I think because it was just a novel, interesting idea to me that, like, you could take a pill and fall in love with somebody because of just the chemicals in your brain.
It's just going to make those fire off, which, yeah, that is interesting. What is interesting to me is that someone can be the love of your life and you have a whole ceremony where you cry about how much you love each other and you really think you're going to be together forever. And then 3 years later, you can have a bitter divorce where you literally are considering hiring someone to murder them. That is interesting to me, that flip. And I know love and hate are the same thing, but
Two sides of the same coin.
When people get divorced, I'm just like, you dumb fuck. Like, what made you think you were going to, you're not dumb, but like, I want to just go back to your wedding and go like, you idiot. What made you think that, how could you do such a 180? That's how wrong you were. You now hate that person. And wish they literally died. Like, some people's divorces, they wish the person were dead. Yeah. How do you love someone so much and then also want them to die? I just
betrayal.
Don't.
Betrayal. What if they betrayed you and they cheated on you? And
well, then you never loved them. And they never loved you. And you were a fool to think they did. And you got bamboozled. And you.
Yes.
I feel sorry for you that you got tricked by a narcissist. And I know it could happen to me. But it's just got to be real embarrassing.
I think it's not even narcissism. I think it's just. People don't know how to fix relationships and they're like, oh, okay, well, we're having these issues, but if we get married, things will get better. If we go into this big financial commitment of a house, things will get better. If we have a kid, things will get better. And then things don't get better and they're like, divorce.
You ever hear that Louis C.K. joke where he's like, when I got married, I was upset because I was like, man, I could have left and I didn't leave. Now I'm stuck. And then I have kids now, and I was like, I could have left.
Yeah.
There's that old.
Yes, yes. You keep feeling like you're stuck forever. You can always get out of it. But not the kid thing. You can never get out of the kid thing. That's
you're
the one thing.
You're stuck with the kids now. Well, you still could get out of it, but then you're just such a piece of shit pariah.
Oh, no, yeah. You'll be running your from children. That. Shame the rest of your life of killing your kids or whatever you did to get rid of them. But oh, you guys weren't thinking that? You were just thinking of leaving your kids? Okay, I just was thinking something else. But no, I just it's just embarrassing to me, I guess, when you think you love someone so much. Like, even when I am like really like a guy and then he ends up being a dick, but and I've kind of like told my friends that I like him, I'm embarrassed by even expressing that about someone that was so lame, let alone having everyone fly out and pay like $800 for a fucking hotel room so they can witness you saying all this shit. Ugh. And then 2 years later, you're like suing them and you wish they never existed. It's just, that's crazy to me.
Yeah, it's a lot.
But it is a lot. And it's...
Well, because, you know, marriage used to be not about love. You know, the invention of marriage, it was all about power and alliances and your station and making sure your daughter didn't, you know.
It is still about that, though. Like, it's still about, like, I own this person. Like, why do we put rings? Like, why does a woman have to wear a ring being like, don't talk to her, she's mine? But men can just, like, not have a ring until it's, you know, until it's official. But being engaged, you're like, you're off the market.
The engagement ring,
men need to know, like, why do we need to let everyone know to stay away from us? Like, why do you own me?
Well, to be fair, people aren't coming after men as much as they are coming on to women.
That's a good point.
Like, and if a man doesn't have an engagement ring, maybe he'll get hit on like one other time. But if a woman, it's like anytime you go out, there's a chance you're going to get hit on.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. I guess that's true. But I just still think it's about owning someone.
Sure, of course. It's all about
being able to be like, it's mine. You don't get to use it. It's like you're a little kid in a sandbox and you won't lend someone your shell. Like, it's... and it's like, no, it's not. This person is eventually going to divorce you and you're going to have no say over them at all. And that's just interesting to me that someone can be like, have to deal with someone so much and then they can just be free again. God, divorce people are so fascinating to me because it's so hard to do. Because I think the divorce rate would be higher if it was easier to leave someone. That's just my thoughts. I think the divorce rate would be like 70%. What is it? 50? I think it would be somewhere 60. Around 70. Okay, it would be 60. Somewhere around 80 then, I think, if people, especially for people in their 20s, you know me, I don't respect you if you get married in your 20s. I think you don't know what you're doing and you're going to live too long and you're eventually going to be very different than this person and want to get out. I mean, think about your friends. Like, think if you had to have your friends that you had when you were 22 the rest of your life, or your job that you had when you were 22. No one in 22 should be able to choose things for the rest of their life.
Well, think about when you're...
And we should laugh if they do.
When you're 17 or 16 and then you're signing on for a $250,000 loan to go to college. And then you get to choose your major. It's insane.
Yeah, that one doesn't... I don't think about that one as much as the marriage thing. But
I have friends from high school. I'm happy that they're still my friends.
You know, I do too. I have a little friend
that was a little baby when I knew him. I knew him as a little baby. I held him in my arms.
Well, you guys just got lucky. And you probably are friends based on the fact that you have so much sunken cost into it. And that if you maybe met this person today, you might not be friends with them as an adult.
Well, certainly.
Like, a lot of people are just friends because it's like, we've been friends for so long. We all know that girl who's like, you go to her wedding and you're one of her best friends currently. And then she has a best friend from when she was a baby. And it's like, she looks different than ever. Like, she's just a different kind of girl that like is a little bit needier and weirder and not really fitting in with everyone else. But she's the baby friend. So that girl thinks she has seniority because she's known her since she was a baby. But it's like, bitch, this girl, my friend wouldn't be friends with you. The only reason she's friends with you is because your parents made you guys hang out together.
Yeah.
So don't act like you're better friends with my friend, even though she had to make you the maid of honor because you are crazy and you'll make a big deal of it if you're not. And she knows I'm more understanding and that I really know I'm her best friend. And she knows I don't want the responsibility, but you have really nothing else going on in your life than claiming to be this girl's best friend because you met when you were babies, when you had no choice in it. Does anyone relate to that person?
Well, I'm just very lucky because my high school friends, my friends from growing
they're
up,
they're actually cool.
They're cool, and we just all like the same things. We like doing the same things. We like gambling. We like watching sports. We like playing board games. Like, we like all the same stuff. And it's probably because we developed our personalities together growing up over those years.
Yeah.
And we weren't cool. We were not cool. That's the key.
Right. Don't forget.
Yes.
You were not cool.
So we just developed our friend group instead
of
developing.
Did any of them get cool? Did you ever have a friend that, like, got cool and ditched you guys?
Got cool and ditched us? No one ditched us. We had a friend who was a pretty good athlete. He was on the swim team and lacrosse team. He's pretty ripped, but he was just an angry dude. So we never really transcended to coolness. And no, nobody became cool at all.
No one had a shot at what it. Happened Noah, did you ever have
we all
a friend
got older.
That got cool?
Sorry, to, we all got older, and then when we were seniors, people started to realize that being cool wasn't what it was all about, and that my
as
friend group
seniors
was,
in high school, you figured out that being cool isn't what it's about.
Well, the school figured it out, and they were like, you know what? These guys are actually fun, and they're, it doesn't matter if they're not cool; they're fine.
Your group of friends became cool because everyone kind realized of. That being cool is just being fun.
Right. Not cool, cool, but like popular in a sense.
Okay. Yeah. That's cool that you guys all got it together senior year and like
we
realized that.
We all got
that.
It together, yeah.
Or so you are telling us.
And now all the cool kids, all the really truly cool kids, the football players and stuff, they're
the
all
druggies.
Fucking losers. They're all fucking losers.
All
my
of them?
Friends are doctors and lawyers and a police officer. And all the coolest guys are I work at the bar in town, you know, it's like, it's sad,
yeah. But they're still friends with they're probably like still hanging out with high school kids and they're like, or they're probably, well, I guess they're too old for that now, but I feel like they just stay in high school forever and they kind of always are. Yeah. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
My high school didn't have sports, so it's just funny to hear what you thought was cool. For me, I thought you were cool when you started having sex, and that's how we lost all the time, me and my best friend, the third friend.
Wait, that's how, wait, your school didn't have sports?
How is that
possible? What school did you go to?
Edward R. Morrow High School. It was like an art school,
broadcast?
Like art high school.
Is that a private school?
No, it's not private. It was public. But
wait,
public?
Why,
we didn't
did,
have
why did you go
teams.
To an art school? Like, did you choose it, or was that just the one that you decided?
I was zoned for it, and they had like a TV production class, and I knew I wanted to work in that.
Oh my god, I would have loved to go to a school without sports. Are you kidding me? This
it was
is
more
amazing.
Like theater majors and stuff.
You didn't have to go to gym. Like, you didn't have PE.
We had PE. Like, it was a part of the schedule. But you know, I just took yoga and we got to sleep.
Yoga.
Oh my god.
Oh my
PE
god.
In a non-sports school must be hilarious.
Yeah, we didn't have official sports
that's
team.
That's awesome. So it cool meant whoever was having sex.
Yeah, so you know how you asked me if we lost a friend to coolness? Yeah. It was always like when the third girl ended up having a boyfriend, then they had sex, and then she was like, she outcooled us.
What's the third damn. Girl mean?
Because I had like one very close friend growing up, like up to the end of high school.
Mm-hmm.
So she was my best friend. And
then you would have a rotating third girl. Would always come in, a virgin, leave.
Yep, having had sex.
Mm-hmm. I say slut jokingly because we thought anyone that did anything with boys, that they were a slut in the
She
in
was
the early
besmirched, 2000s. Defiled.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She had the scarlet letter.
Yeah, that was what I lost my friends to as well, is sex and boys. And I was just like 4 or 5 years behind that. Like, I would have thrived. I would have been like boy crazy. I was boy crazy in my 30s is when I became like kind of boy crazy in a high school type way. But in high school, boys coming along was just like, get the fuck out of here, man. Like, you're making all my friends act like assholes.
Yeah.
And their voices get all weird. And they get stupider and they get like giggly and they all act like they're high when they're around boys and they just act dumb and we can't be gross and they're just distracted and they won't go down on me anymore. And so I really just felt like guys were, I liked boys and I liked being around them because I liked their sense of humor and I liked if I'm sometimes had crushes, but I was not like, I just didn't. It just ruined my girl friendships. Men ruined everything. Mm. It was so good until we started caring about what boys thought about us. And then it's been all downhill from there.
Sort of like what Pen 15's about.
Yeah, it really is. Like one of them maturing before the other one and the other one feeling really left behind. Mm-hmm. I think that's a very normal experience. But now, now all my friends are married and have kids or are having kids. So it's all coming to fruition. The thing that the quest they started pursuing in high school is coming to a close and they have reached Everest.
Whoa.
They have reached, I've had 3 friends get married in the past year.
Everest is the name of the baby?
Yes. that is a good name. That would be a great name.
Yeah.
So they've summited and they're on the way back down.
Wow.
And some of them might die along the way.
And
no,
some of
they're
them
all
peaked.
They've all summited and I am at the bottom. I'm at the base camp. hanging out, eating chili in the cabin, waiting for them to come back down and hang out
with
me.
That's right. Après ski.
But the you start out in high school liking boys and then dating boys, and then it's all a climb to like someday one will choose me to own me, and then you have a then you have kids and then you raise those kids and all the effort goes into them, and then they abandon you because they need their own lives and they start resenting you, and like no matter how good of a parent you are, eventually your kids will reach a level where they want literally nothing to do with you. And that has got to be the one of the most heartbreaking moments of anyone's life, is having a 15-year-old daughter who hates the fucking sight of you, and you have just 10 years ago you were everything to her, and now she literally hates you and tells you that. That's going to be hard. And then they leave, and then you've got, hopefully you have some hobbies that you can put yourself back into, but I know a lot of people get lost in the kid thing, and then their kids go off and they don't know what to do anymore. And that's usually when they divorce, because they are for the first time, see their husband for the first time and go, what the fuck is this guy? Like, they've been distracted chasing kids around.
Yeah.
And then they get divorced, or the husband, you know, starts seeing someone and they just pretend to ignore it and get into gardening or something.
Seeing someone you just couldn't tell because you're too busy.
Yeah, exactly. Or you just didn't care. You're like, good, I don't want to fuck him anyway. You do it.
Yeah.
And then you can't, like that's why a lot of Hollywood couples, I think, divorce, is because the woman knows her husband's cheating on her, and it's like a tacit agreement of like, don't ask, don't tell. But then he gets sloppy, and then she has to make like a whole presentation of it for everyone and be like, we're divorcing, I feel betrayed, even though she knew, you know? I think that happens a lot more than you think. But then that's when the grandmothers start begging for grandkids because they want to do it again.
Sure.
That's what they want. They want it so bad. And doing it as a grandparent is easier because you just come in. It's
every once in a while you get a good little kid date.
Yeah. So I think that's cycle life. I really don't want to know what I'm going to do, though, when my parents die, or like, you know, my niece and nephew don't care. Like, I have certain things in my life where I'm like, okay, I feel important and loved unconditionally. I get why people get married. I get why people have kids. You need to feel like you matter, more than just your career, more than just, for me, like fans or something, you know, like what my only fans. You need to feel some other, like that you're loved in a deep way that is like unconditional, like not based on stuff. And so that's my parents, and that's my niece and nephew, but they're eventually, my niece and nephew aren't gonna give a shit about me, and my parents will be dead, and that's where I'll worry about myself a lot. But I'm preparing for that. That's where you get a husband
and friends. You shared a video one time on Instagram of the an interview with this childless woman rights activist interview or something like that, and I went and there's a whole podcast, I forgot what it's called, but it's about, there's two women who are child free, and they interview other women who are child free. And you shared this clip of this woman. And she said, and I listened to the interview.
I already forgot. What did she say?
Well, she said that, you know, she's in her 80s now. So she's seen a lot of people come and go. And one of the major concerns that people have when they decide not to have children is, when I'm on my deathbed, when I'm too sick and frail to take care of myself, who's going to take care of me if I don't have children? Who's going to come visit me if I don't have children? And she says she's seen dozens of people on their deathbed. And you know who doesn't come visit them? Their kids. You know who does? You know who's checking up on them? You know who's asking the doctors questions? You know who's bringing them flowers and bringing them lunch? Their friends. You need to have friends. Have friends of all ages, and they will take care of you way more than your kids might.
Okay. I got to make some young friends.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just feel full older friends, right? Or older friends. But they
got to pay it forward.
You got to pay it forward. You got to be proactive. That's the thing, is like, I don't think I want to take care of some old person right now.
But you're not taking care of them. You're just part of a team of friends who's like, let me go.
Checks in on them.
Check in on,
Brings them soup.
Right. Well, you also still have your parents.
I would rub some callus. I would, carve some calluses off an old woman's foot. Sign me up for that.
Sure.
There you go.
Go rub some bunions. Warts. I would do that. Okay, yeah, that's good. You just got to keep friends. But then your friends have kids, and then they don't have time for
you.
But
when you're old enough, then they don't. They're not taking care of their kids anymore.
Okay.
When you're at that age where you need to be taken care of, having a robust friends group is really, if you don't have kids, is the most important thing.
Okay.
If you do have kids, some of the most
you need them Yeah, you need friends too.
We have friends here, like all, like three different generations. I have friends who are younger. I have friends who are like 20 years older than me. And the older friends, everyone's like, if you ever need a babysitter, if you ever want to drop your kid off somewhere, they're offering that to us. So that's really nice.
That's really sweet. I'm so glad you have so many friends in a place that you just moved to not that long ago. It's really impressive, Noah.
I feel so lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. Okay, we're going to take a break. I'm going to go get some young friends and we'll be back after this.
Tired of wandering the aisles at Walgreens trying to find the best deals? Well, we've got something that'll make your shopping experience a whole lot sweeter. Introducing Drop, the app that rewards you with free gift cards just for doing your everyday shopping. Whether it's groceries, toiletries, or your favorite snacks. With Drop, every purchase earns you points towards fantastic rewards. Download the Drop app now. Use code DROP55 when you sign up to get $5 in points.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Paid by UpLevel Rewards. Paid participation required after portrayal.
Attention all listeners. Are you ready to earn $750? Well, get ready because I'm about to introduce you to GetMy750.com, the ultimate way to earn. Here's the scoop. Instead of just streaming shows or playing games on your phone for nothing, you have the chance to earn additional cash. That's right. From trying out new subscriptions to playing your favorite mobile games, you can get extra cash in your pocket. Simply sign up at GetMy750.com and follow the instructions to start earning immediately. So, what are you waiting for? Turn your favorite apps into real cash with GetMy750.com. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to earn rewards for things you're already doing on your phone. Check out GetMy750.com today. That's right. Get started right now at GetMy750.com. Just go to GetMy750.com. Or Google Get My 750 Cash. Follow the simple instructions and get your $750. That's GetMy750.com. GetMy750.com.
All right, we're back. What did you guys do with your day today in between?
Or the Speaking of friends, one of my friends just happened to be in the neighborhood and he stopped by and we watched the end of the women's Final Four, UConn versus Iowa. And no spoiler alert, but Caitlin Clark lost.
I heard.
It's very unfortunate for her, but you know, UConn was a good team. And
is she a senior?
Wait, am I saying it was it UConn? No, I'm sorry, not.
No,
UConn.
It wasn't UConn.
South
it
was, Carolina. Sorry,
that's right.
South Carolina defeated, and it's pretty cool. They went 38-0, which is pretty cool. But I feel bad for Caitlin Clark, who's now lost twice in the national championship. Devastated.
But she's gonna go on to great things. She's.
But she can go on to great things. It's almost like. Anything, I don't know, I might be speaking out of turn, but it sort of feels like the entire world's gaze was upon Caitlin Clark in this tournament, and it feels like anything she might accomplish in the WNBA will not be as visible as what she was doing during the Final Four, during March Madness.
Is she a senior? Is this over for
this
her?
This is it. It's over for her.
Oh,
she will never
sucks.
Have an opportunity to win.
Can she do a fifth-year senior kind of thing? Do some people do that?
I don't think she's eligible. She's going into the draft, and she's going to be on the Indiana Fever. And
That's exciting for you.
I don't care about Indiana basketball. I actually, that's the one Indiana thing I don't.
Won't people like. Be excited to watch her play? That's what you're saying. You don't think it will matter? Why is it so exciting now at the college level and it won't be exciting to watch her play?
There's just something about, I mean, do you hear anybody talking about the WNBA playoffs?
No, but I didn't hear anyone talking about the girls NCAA.
Until now.
Caitlin Clark.
Well, just the last few years, the women's NCAA has been filled with these characters and stars, and it's been very competitive with rivalries, and one of the greatest probably three of the greatest players to play in one of maybe all time. And so it's just been super exciting.
Yeah.
And the WNBA has better players than the players in the currently in March Madness, but no one seems to care about what's going on in WNBA at all. Can you even name like five teams in the WNBA? Probably not.
No. Yeah. And I'm not, it's like the same with the Kevin Hart movie thing. I'm not ashamed. It's not what I shouldn't have to know that. I don't care about basketball, but yes, I can name male basketball teams, I think.
How many do you think you can name?
Probably five easily.
Okay.
Miami Heat, Pacers, right. Pistons.
Yeah, wow.
Bulls.
Yeah.
Jazz.
Yeah. You could also just randomly selected words and that might
I could
have been,
just name animals.
Tigers?
Yeah. But it's like the Bill Burr joke where he's like, "Well, women are so mad that women's sports don't get attention. Why aren't you watching this shit?" Was that his point? It was like, no one, you're not watching it either, bitches, which I loved. It was like, yeah, we're not. We can't get mad that like no one watches women. It's like, we don't do it either.
Although there's a girl in high school who is going viral right now because she is dunking. And she's it's like with ease. She's dunking and she's not even that tall. She just has ups. So that's pretty exciting.
Does that mean just like a good vertical or whatever? Ups?
She got a good vertical. She can jump really high and dunk the ball, which is something you don't see very often in women's basketball. And it just feels like, all sports, men's and women's, just the athletes progress. And somehow, over time, they just become more athletic than they were the generation before.
It's like in comedy, too. Like, people just become so much funnier than 50 years, 30 years ago, 20 years ago. Like, it's just we just evolve, and we're evolving quickly before our eyes.
Can you believe that people were like thought Tim Allen was funny?
The bar was so low.
Tim Allen?
Oh,
that's hilarious. That noise? You made a noise.
Men like, hunt and women do. I mean, I do think he had comedic talent for sure. Like, there was something to be had back then, but it was so much lower.
Yeah. Tim Allen has a cabin in... actually, I'll save this for... Diamond Players Club. Another. Remind me to talk shit about Tim Allen.
Yeah, I feel like you have a bone to pick.
I've got a bone to pick with this guy.
There is an example recently of someone talking out about someone and saying that they were not pleasant to work with, and then I go, "No, that's you. That's I've been harboring. You're the name I know.
Yeah,
you're the top of my list. If I ever talk about why does this person work, even though I've heard documentation that they're not fun to work with." How are you calling someone out? But then you realize that those who teach, is that the thing? Like,
those
no, that's the,
fish.
That's like those who can't teach. No, you hate that which you are. Like the other day, Anya like hated this guy's shape of his head. And she was like, I just hate the way his head is shaped. And she was really mad about his head. And I was like, what's going on? She was like, and then I realized it's because that's the way my head is shaped and I hate it about myself. And I was like, oh. So I think that it's, and I've probably been unpleasant to people, and I'm a big call out person of like, that person sucks to work with. And I'm sure that there are people that have encountered me at times where I just wasn't aware that I was being a dick and it seemed like the worst behavior. So
my pussy stinks.
Yeah, that story could come out. They even those are my girls and I love them. They could say like one time Nikki was like, "Sorry, my pussy stinks," and like pulled up her pants and was like, honestly, it was a little aggressive and she didn't really seem that sorry. Like they could just check my tone or whatever. And the stories I've heard about the people I know that are unpleasant could just be hearsay and it could just be one person's experience. Except that I've heard it from multiple people in different shows. So, who's to say? Who's to say? But yeah, I'm going to be pleasant on set this week. That's all I know. I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to appreciate, even though it's a busy week.
Mysterious game show. So when will you get to say? When will you reveal?
I think when it becomes announced, like what it is, and once they can't take the money, once the checks have been cashed and they can't take it away from me.
And when's your special?
I can't say.
Ah, what the fuck? Really?
Dude.
Still?
But did you see the trailer for it? You saw the trailer, right?
I saw the trailer.
Okay. So I didn't want to watch the trailer because I don't like watching myself and I'm just like so tired of seeing that special, even though it's awesome and I've heard good reports from everyone that watches it. And I also was proud of it at a couple of points, even though it was very hard for me. Even if it was perfect, I would still hate it. That's the way I view myself. I get this trailer and I'm like, I don't have to watch it because I heard Brian loves it. I heard Chris loves it. I heard everyone, like everyone, HBO loves it. Let's just run it, you know? And I was like, I don't even need to watch it. And then Chris was like, maybe just watch it. I am so glad I fucking did.
Good.
Because there is a vagina joke within seconds of it starting. And I'm like, if you, we can't do this. We can't. People already hate female comics talking about their vagina. You cannot in the trailer. Like, I can't even imagine. Like, this is going to be seen more than my special. 100% more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at least 100% more. This trailer. And what this will come with that HBO, you know, or Max does not have is comments. My trailer, anytime anyone watches it, they will be able to see comments. If there is a vagina joke front and center, which I do talk about my vagina in the special, fuck you. But if dumb people are not going to watch my special, right? Like, but dumb people are going to watch the trailer. And what will they say? Oh, this is all the women talk about. Can't they talk about anything else? Like, it would be the worst comment section you've ever seen.
Yeah,
and then people that actually like me would slowly start to feel that way about me, even though these idiots are the ones that are like setting the tone. Because mm-hmm. So when I saw the vagina joke, I just screamed and I was like, no, like it's the, that's the worst thing. That, and they were well intentioned in doing it because they're proud of me and the joke is hilarious and it would be great in the trailer. I wish I could put it in, but people are too ignorant. People are too myopic when they think about women doing stand up and they already hate us and they don't want us to have a microphone. So they have to like make what we do. They have to belittle it and say that, you know, we're one note. So I just can't have that.
Yeah, even though, really good point. I did not think that at all. And I should have.
No, it's okay. Bad. No,
I had a note. I think it was addressed.
No, I thought your, I think your note was, I think your note was good. There were a lot of notes I had for it, but it was a good trailer. If the person that's making it is listening, I want you to know, like, you did a really good job. It's just, I have to pay attention to these extra things in considering what people are going to make fun of because the trailer is literally more important than the special.
Yeah.
I hate to say it. Like the poster is sometimes more important than special. Like if you work in ad sales or like key art for these things, like you are doing the Lord's work because the special is so important. So much effort went into it, but more people are going to see the fucking poster.
Yeah.
And that is not the way it used to be.
That's how it was for the Netflix show I was on or I ran. And the trailer was almost like better than the show. Honestly, it was an excellent trailer. Netflix does incredible trailers.
Oh, a trailer can be so good.
Yeah. A lot of movies, their trailers are better than the movie.
Oh yeah, you know, I've said it before, but one of my favorite movie is The Social Network trailer. It's the best short film I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah,
it's so good. I watch it a lot. I love good trailers. I would take any recommendations from besties. By the way, shout out to besties who gave me 1975 songs to get into.
Great.
So many wrote to me. Somebody else is amazing. There was another, what did I add? Somebody else was a recommendation that a lot gave to me that were like, this is just a classic. You got to do it.
That's and a then, song, right?
Yeah. Two time. And then another song that no one recommended, but I just got into. And so 1975 fans, I want to know if you would recommend the song because it's one of my favorites. Chocolate. Is really good. So thank you for those recs. I really do appreciate when besties like follow up with stuff that I asked for specifically. So we do want to hear if you have an OnlyFans experience.
Yeah, I really want to know if you're making money or if it is like
dying
what you say and it's like, oh, it's actually kind of sad. You're not making money anymore. It's not like it used to be. You just kind of put yourself out there and you don't get any feedback and it sucks.
Yeah,
because that's the saddest thing of all.
OnlyFans is only positive feedback where there's not like a lot of like people making fun of you. Like
because you have to
no, but the negative feedback is not getting any feedback. Is you post a picture and it gets no likes or no comments or no tips, and you're just like, what am I doing this for? That's the sad thing.
Oh God,
it's like you do the thing that you think is like automatic payday. I'm putting myself out there, I'm taking the risk, I'm going down the quote-unquote shameful route, and then to not get the payoff.
Man, I sent a nude the other night to my man, and right before I went on stage, I was just like alone in my green room, and you know, I'm gussied up as much as I'll ever guss up, and I just usually just like take a tit out and take a picture. You know, it's like, it's always funny to just have a full put together look, but then you just pull your shirt down enough that you're like, oh, it just slipped out. Like I think that's always kind of a sexy, fun look. It's funny too. So you like have that going for you if it ever leaks. It's like, if your tit starts leaking on camera. So I sent it, and then I went on stage, and I come off stage, nothing back. But it's like prime time too, like, right? It's like 8 o'clock. So I'm like, what the fuck, you know? And then I go, I'll go do the meet and greet. There'll be something when I get back. Nothing again. And so I'm just like, what the f-? And then I'm starting to worry because I didn't send this on the like secret messaging app that we have that like erases everything and like is very encrypted or whatever, right, or not encrypted. I don't know which one it is, but it's the safe one. I just send it on regular text. So I'm like, did this come up on like, did he have it on air, like AirDrop oh, or like no. Apple Play or whatever? Like, I don't, Apple TV. Like, what is he like dealing with the fallout from that picture popping he's watching, up while he was like, showing oh his parents his phone
pictures from Spain?
Yeah. So, but that isn't the case. He wrote back. He just, I think, fell asleep or something. Mm. But it that moment, that 3 hours of being like, first of all, is this not impressive? Did you, there's no way you just looked at this and were like, you know, like you got to write something. But it is, I talked about it before, it is very strange when you send off like a slutty picture and then the person you're sending it to is just like not horny at all. Like he might have just like not been in the mood for it. And it's just like sending your friend who's nauseous in her first trimester a like a picture of a plate of spaghetti and meatballs. And they're just like, ugh, you know? So it could have been that. But
spaghetti and meatballs, what I call my picks.
Saucy. All right, well, that's our show. Thank you guys so much for listening to these two double episodes that happened in one day. I hope you enjoyed them. We are going to be back next week. Don't you worry about it. I'm in LA. Come see me this weekend in New Orleans. I'm in Minneapolis on Friday night, New Orleans on Saturday night, and then Houston on Sunday night. So much fun. Yeah, keep sending your recommendations. Keep DMing us, telling us things that we should talk about or that you like. And we love you. And see you next week. And don't be kid. Bye.
Hello, iHeart listener. We have a confession to make. Both iHeart and this commercial you're listening to right now would probably sound a heck of a lot better on the new Roku Pro Series TV. It's got side-firing speakers that fill your room with sound, Dolby Atmos audio that puts you right in the middle of the entertainment, and the ability to pair seamlessly with your home theater sound systems that already have surround sound and booming bass. If all that sounds too good to be true, it'll sound even better on the new Roku Pro Series. Your hearing isn't better, your TV is.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Is getting gas at Exxon burning a hole in your wallet? Get the Drop app. With Drop, you can earn free gift cards just by filling up your tank. Download Drop now. Use code DROP66 to instantly receive $5 in points.